Get Smart, Our Amazing Brain. Caroline Shackleton and Nathan Paul Turner. Series Editor, Bob Hastings. Chapter 1, The Brain, Facts and Myths. Your brain makes you who you are, but what do you know about it? In the past, people knew little about the human brain. The Greek philosopher Aristotle believed we thought with our hearts. Now, thanks to science, we know more. But what do you know about your brain? Read the sentences. Decide whether each one is a fact, true, or myth, not true. 1. People only use about 10% of the brain. 2. People use one hemisphere of the brain more than the other. 3. Once brain cells die, new ones cannot grow in their place. 4. The brain, like a computer, has a fixed and limited memory. 5. The white matter in the brain doesn't do anything important. 6. The brain uses almost a quarter of all a person's energy. 7. Teenage brains aren't totally finished developing. 8. Men and women think differently. 9. The brain can repair itself after an accident. 10. The different lobes in the brain do different jobs. The answers. 1. Myth. We use different parts of the brain at different times and for different functions, so we really use a large amount of our brain. In fact, if neurons aren't used, they die. 2. Myth. Until recently, many scientists believed that people used one half of the brain more than the other. Now we know the brain uses both sides together. For example, while the left side processes language, the right side controls the way we speak. 3. Myth. Many people think that as we get older, our brain cells die away, making us less intelligent. Fortunately, adults can grow new neurons by learning new things, doing exercise, and remembering things. 4. Myth. When we remember something, our brain is actually making new memory connections for the first time. 5. Myth. In the past, scientists thought that white matter didn't do anything important. Now they know that it is full of special cells called glia, which help control the neural signals and also clean and repair neuron cells. 6. Fact. Our brain uses about 20% of all our energy and 25% of all the oxygen we breathe. 7. Fact. Studies show that teenagers don't use as much of the brain as adults. In particular, the frontal lobe, which controls social feelings and guilt, is less active. In other words, teenagers really are more selfish than adults. However, the brain becomes fully adult by about age 17. 8. Myth. Although it is true that men's and women's brains have different amounts of white and gray matter, new studies show that there seems to be no difference between how well men and women think and solve problems. 9. Fact. The brain is actually very flexible. When a part of the brain is damaged, other parts of the brain often create new connections to do the job of the missing part. 10. Fact. With the frontal lobe, we think, plan, and feel emotion. With the parietal lobe, we taste things and feel touch, pressure, pain, or temperature. The occipital lobe lets us see the world. The temporal lobe lets us hear things, and it is also important for emotion and memory. Chapter 2, The Brain and Personality. How much of our personality are we born with? What type of personality do you have? Are you shy or outgoing, cheerful or sad? Many psychologists divide human personality into these five general personality types. Extrovert, how outgoing and social we are. Neurotic, how angry, guilty, or worried we are. Agreeable, how kind, friendly, and trusting we are. Conscientious, how self-controlled, responsible, and organized we are. Open, how interested in new things we are. Psychologists see our personalities as a mix of different amounts of each type. They use personality tests, special lists of questions, to decide how much of each type a person has. But how much of a person's personality is learned from other people, and how much are people born with? And are the five types connected to different parts of the brain? In the 1980s, studies were carried out on identical twins, born from the same egg, who had grown up with different families. Although the children often grew up in very different places with different people, scientists found that they usually had extremely similar personalities. These studies led the scientists to realize that our brain controls our behavior and personality much more than they had previously thought. Today, scientists have the technology to take a computer picture, or scan, that shows which areas of the brain are being used when people think, speak, and act. This means they can look for connections between the scans and the results of traditional personality tests. The results are both interesting and complicated. So what is the exact relationship between personality and the areas of the brain? Certain areas of the brain seem to be stronger in different people, depending on their personality. Brain scans of strongly extroverted people show them to have a larger frontal lobe than shy people. The frontal lobe controls social functions in humans and also helps give feelings of pleasure. So, outgoing people enjoy group situations like parties, and they like being given compliments and getting prizes. In fact, a new study found that four of the five main personality types have a direct relationship to the size of different areas in the brain. People who are more responsible, who worry more, and those who are friendlier all have more neuron connections in specific areas. The only personality type that seems to have no clear connection to a physical part of the brain is how open we are to new experiences and information. Does this mean that a personality can't be changed? Not at all. In fact, scientists now know the brain is very flexible. Often, functions are shared by different parts of the brain. What's more, doing something like playing a musical instrument will make the brain grow more neurons in the area being used. This means that when one type of behavior is repeated, like being sociable, that tells the brain to produce more neurons, helping someone do that behavior better. So if you want to be more organized, try making small changes, like always putting your keys in the same place, or studying at the same time every day. If you want to be more outgoing, try taking part in social activities. The more you talk to people, the more this part of your brain will respond. Chapter 3, The Brain and Language. Humans are language experts. We can speak, understand what we hear, and read and write the same ideas. Many scientists believe that language is the one ability that really separates humans from other animals. While many other animals, such as chimpanzees and dolphins, live in groups and communicate, scientists don't know for certain whether they can talk and share complicated ideas. How does the brain deal with language? For most people, the main language center is in the left hemisphere. However, for about 19% of people who are left-handed, their main language center is in the right hemisphere, and as many as 68% of left-handed people use both parts equally. In fact, everybody uses a little of both hemispheres for language. If the stronger hemisphere is damaged, language ability can develop in the other. In the 19th century, scientists began to study patients with aphasia. Aphasia is an inability to speak or understand language that results from brain damage, usually because of an accident. Although scientists at that time didn't have brain scans to show them which areas of the brain were damaged, this information was usually clear from the patient's accident. Scientists discovered two important language areas in the brain. The first, Broca's area, toward the front of the brain, was thought to produce speech. People with a damaged Broca's area could understand language but couldn't speak. The second, Wernicke's area, toward the back of the brain, seemed to do the opposite. People with Wernicke's aphasia cannot understand others. They can speak, but it is a mix of words without meaning. scientists learned that the first area was important for producing language and the second for understanding it. Much more recently, in 2005, new brain scan technology let scientists see the nerve connections between the two areas in much more detail. This led them to the discovery of a third area, known as Geschwind's area. It connects Broca's and Wernicke's areas. It seems to be the last area to develop in the brain and may develop in children as they learn language. How does the brain learn language? Everyone knows children are the best language learners. In fact, babies have twice as many neurons as adults. But although at first babies have the ability to hear and learn all human sounds, they soon start to choose only the ones that they hear being spoken around them. Their ability to learn language easily seems to disappear around the age of 12. After this age, learning to speak for the first time becomes almost impossible, and even learning a second language becomes more difficult. People who speak two languages very well are called bilingual. Today, it is thought that more than half the people living in the world are bilingual. In many countries, the large number of different societies and nationalities means that people must speak at least two languages. Where do bilingual brains store languages? Some scientists think that bilingual people store different languages in different parts of the brain. Bilingual people with brain damage to one part of the brain often lose the ability to speak one language, but not the other. Recently, scientists have learned that bilingual people develop more gray matter than people who only speak one language, which may make their brains stronger in the case of an accident or a health problem. So, speaking a second language is not only useful, it may also be healthy. Chapter 4: The Brain and Movement. Many scientists now think the brain's main function is to move our bodies. Movement may seem like a simple thing, but it's actually more complicated than the higher skills of language and thought. One brain scientist said that although we can make a computer that can beat world champions at chess, we still can't make a robot that can move nearly as well as us. Have you ever tried to tickle yourself? It's almost impossible. Because the brain knows what is going to happen, you don't feel it in the same way. Our own touch doesn't make us laugh or move away from the tickling fingers. Movement uses many areas of the brain. It is a complicated process of balance, muscle control, and prediction. The brain makes it look easy, but there's still a lot we don't know about it. By the 1960s, brain scientists had found that they could make muscles move by sending electrical signals to the motor cortex, the part of the cortex that deals with movement. In their experiments, scientists found that the motor cortex has areas of gray matter for each of the body's 650 different muscles. The largest part of the motor cortex is used to control the hands. Although your hands are not the biggest part of your body, they need much more brain power because they make very complicated movements. The motor cortex controls conscious movements, but there are many other movements that people do unconsciously. Balance, for example, is controlled by the cerebellum. And the brain stem controls things people do without even thinking, like breathing. Chapter 5: The Brain and the Senses. We use sight, sound, touch, taste, and smell to understand our world. Of course, there is no point in being able to move if you don't know where you are going or what you're doing. To understand the information our senses give us, we use our brains. Let's look at how our brains control the senses. Sight. Sight is actually a set of very complicated systems. When you watch a ball flying through the air, the color information and the movement information sent from the eyes are being read by different parts of the brain at the same time. Although most of the information goes to the visual cortex, which processes sight information, some of the eye's nerves send information to the cerebellum too, which helps control balance and movement. This means you can catch the ball too. Because different parts of the brain read different information about what we see, damage to the brain can change what and how we see. Akinetopsia, for example, is an illness where a person cannot see movement. For these people, life is like looking at the world in photos. A person with akinetopsia can't see the movement of water, for example, so he might use hearing to help fill a glass. Smell. The main olfactory nerve, which sends smell information, is the fastest in the brain. The speed of smell is faster than the speed of light or sound. Our sense of smell is very powerful. It can even make us feel sick. Because smell is connected to the temporal lobe, which helps us store memories, particular smells can also bring up very particular memories. In fact, people can easily remember as many as 10,400 smells. Sound. The sound of a knife on a plate or fingernails on a chalkboard can be really annoying. But why is that? It's because high sounds like those go to the part of the brain called the amygdala, which creates emotions. Other sounds, like music, are processed in the reward center of the brain and give us pleasure. The ability to enjoy and play music is very mysterious. In 1994, Tony Sicoria, a 42-year-old New York doctor, was talking on a public phone when he was suddenly hit by lightning. For a few seconds, his heart stopped, and he almost died. After the accident, Tony suddenly felt the need to play the piano, although he had never played before. He very quickly became brilliant. Now, Tony gives professional concerts and writes his own music. Feeling. When you hit your toe, it feels like the pain is in your toe. In fact, it isn't. The pain is a message from your brain. This is why many people who have lost an arm or leg in an accident can still feel the limb. They even report that they can still feel pain in the lost limb. A few people have a different and extremely rare problem. They feel no pain. This may sound great, but it can be very dangerous, especially in children. Feeling no pain also means they don't know when they are hurting themselves. One girl bit off her own tongue while eating and regularly burned herself because she couldn't feel heat or even electric shocks. Chapter 6. What do you think? What are you like? Find out about your main personality trait. Take the quiz and choose the best answer for you. 1. When I go to a party, A. I love talking to new people. B. I help clean up afterwards. C. I help organize the food and drinks. D. I organize party games. 2. In my free time, I prefer to A. go out with friends. B. help my friends and family. C. study. D. go to a museum or art gallery. 3. My favorite sport or exercise is A. a team sport with my friends, like soccer. B. whatever everyone else wants to do. C. going to the gym on my own. D. something new or adventurous, like bungee jumping. 4. I organize my time, A. to be with other people. B. depending on what other people want to do. C. very well, everything is planned. D. to do many different things. 5. My room is A. always full of people. B. never locked. C. always clean and tidy. D. original and designed by me. 6. My friends describe me most often as A. outgoing. B. a good friend. C. organized. D. creative. 7. When I receive an unexpected but interesting invitation, I A. ask how many people will be there. B. cancel or change my plans and accept. C. check my calendar before accepting. D. accept it immediately. 8. My plans for the future are A. to travel around the world and meet lots of people. B. to help others as much as possible. C. to study a lot and get a good job. D. to do lots of different things. Mostly A's. You have an extroverted personality. Mostly B's. You have an agreeable personality. Mostly C's. You have a conscientious personality. Mostly D's. You have an open personality.